From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, January 8th, 2018. And on this day, Maine Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says he will keep fighting for working papers from the now defunct Presidential Voter Fraud Commission. And we've heard a lot about how corporate tax cuts will help big companies, but could they lower your utility bills? Those stories ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says he'll go back to court to get documents compiled by President Trump's Voter Fraud Commission, which has now been dissolved. A federal judge recently ruled that Dunlap's entitled to the commission's working papers, but now the Department of Justice is arguing that he can't have the documents because the commission is disbanded and Dunlap is no longer a member of it. Steve Missler has more.
Dunlap's attorney asked for the documents shortly after Trump disbanded the commission last week. The response from the Justice Department came late Friday, which argued that because the Voter Fraud Commission is no more, the Trump administration is no longer required to grant Dunlap access to its working papers.
The courts have spoken quite strongly here, and what the Justice Department does here is they basically flip off the court. I was actually stunned at the way they put it, you know, and I thought it was contemptuous. I thought it was arrogant.
The Justice Department argues that the commission's working papers are not public documents, and that because Dunlap is effectively a member of the public and no longer part of the commission, its records should be sealed. Dunlap previously enlisted the legal assistance of American Oversight, a D.C. watchdog group, to sue the commission after asserting that it had shut him out of its work. He prevailed in that lawsuit, and he believes he will a second time.
I want to know, you know, what moves they are contemplating, what changes they're contemplating or recommending to either legislatures or the Congress.
Dunlap believes the commission's work is of vital public interest, especially if it leads to nationalized election policy, such as voter ID or voter registration restrictions.
So I think there's something here that's really, really critical to the American people, and that's how we conduct our elections.
Dunlap says any policy changes affecting elections could be pursued by the Department of Homeland Security, the agency President Trump has charged with fighting voter fraud, now that he's disbanded a controversial commission that failed to validate voter fraud as a problem. Dunlap says he's huddling with his legal advisors to determine when and how he'll challenge the Justice Department's decision to keep those commission documents secret. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
New England electricity customers could get a direct benefit from a cut in federal corporate taxes, lower utility bills. Fred Bever has that story.
Consumer advocates in New England are calling on regulators and utilities to turn over to ratepayers any savings from a reduction in the corporate income tax rate, which the recent tax law is knocking down by 40%.
Nobody really saw it until the very end of the process that this little piece of it would allow these savings to be passed directly on to consumers.
Don Kreese is New Hampshire's consumer advocate. He says in most cases, for-profit utilities' federal taxes are actually covered by their customers. So the tax cut could make a real dent in the portion of utility bills that residents and businesses pay for the distribution lines that take electricity from the regional grid to their locations.
You could potentially be looking at something that could reduce the electric bill paid by a typical residential customer over the course of a year in the $100 range.
We believe it's only fair that our customers reap the benefit of a lower tax rate.
Priscilla Ress is a spokeswoman for Eversource, which provides poles and wire service to more than 2 million electric customers in New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. She says customers in all three states should receive the benefits of the new tax law, although the processes that would lead to that outcome may vary. For its Massachusetts customers, though, she says the process is well on its way. And in Greater Boston, the savings will turn a rate increase regulators recently approved into a rate decrease. There are complexities in the tax law that the company is still working through, so exact bill effects can't be assessed yet, but Rest says they won't be small.
Part of our rate is what we're paying in federal taxes. So when that goes down, we pass that savings along to our customers. And in this case, it's quite substantial.
Eversource was the first major utility in the region to announce a giveback plan, but others whose charges are regulated under a policy known as cost of service rate making are moving in the same direction. AmeriMaine, which provides service to the state's northeastern quadrant for one, sees the logic. Judy Long is an Emera spokeswoman.
Our rates are being adjusted and are proceeding right now in front of the NPUC. And our cost of distribution service will be updated in that proceeding to reflect the lower tax rate.
That MPUC she refers to is the Maine Public Utilities Commission. Each state has a similar regulatory body. In Maine, the commission is about to formally open inquiries into how the tax cut should be handled by most of the state's for-profit utilities, electricity, natural gas, and water. And for some, it may not be as simple as just reducing rates by an amount equal to the tax cut. Central Maine Power, for instance, the state's largest utility, is regulated under an alternative rate plan, which is different from a straight cost-of-service method. CMP officials declined interview requests regarding the tax cut, saying only that they will cooperate with regulators and, quote, review all impacts of the tax changes. The company will be under pressure to deliver the maximum back to customers, though.
Some states, including Maine, have alternative rate-making formulas, which encourage, supposedly, utilities to be more efficient. Utilities, however, are very good at gaming the formulas.
Tony Buxton is an energy lobbyist who represents many of Maine's largest energy consumers, such as paper mills. Those companies can have huge electricity bills, with the federal tax a significant portion of that. Buxton says utilities that can are likely to try to stall action, but the tax benefit, he says, should be passed on to consumers as quickly as possible. And Maine's public advocate, Barry Hobbins, agrees it's consumers, not Central Maine Power's shareholders, who should benefit.
They should not be receiving a windfall of that action by the federal government. I don't think that will be the case. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
And in addition to state action, Hobbins and his counterparts in New England say federal regulators should require a cut in a part of energy bills that the feds control to account for the value of the tax cut. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
When J.B. Turner opened the Front Street Shipyard in Belfast 6 years ago, he had a handful of workers and a vision. The company's now grown to nearly 100 workers, and it's poised to start building state-of-the-art passenger ferries. As Mal Leary reports, they're made of a lighter material that the company believes offers a number of benefits over the traditional steel and aluminum-hulled vessels.
This is a 121-foot classic. It was actually a little ship at Dunkirk.
J.B. Turner gestures at a beautiful yacht up on the blocks at the Front Street Shipyard. It's one of several pleasure craft and fishing vessels in the cavernous building that dominates the waterfront site in Belfast. Turner says business has been good.
We believe there was the market for it. We believe that if we found flat land on Penobscot Bay with a town directly nearby, I should say city, I get in trouble for that everybody would come. And we built it and they came.
The growing workforce is willing to take on a diverse spectrum of projects, from sprucing up classic yachts to building and repairing commercial vessels. A satellite yard in Bucksport is busy building lobster boats. And the yard is poised for a major expansion after reaching a deal with Norwegian builder Broda O to create a new company, Arcadia Alliance LLC, to build state-of-the-art carbon fiber passenger ferries.
You can achieve the same strength and the same stiffness from a carbon fiber laminate as that of steel, yet weigh substantially less.
Martin Grimness, one of the founders of the Maine Composites Alliance, is president and currently the only employee of the Arcadia Alliance. He says steel and aluminum ferries, mostly used in the United States, require more maintenance and higher operating costs than carbon fiber composites, which are lighter, non-rusting, and use significantly less fuel. Turner says the company's plan is to leverage the advantages of carbon fiber to carve out a piece of the U.S. market for ferries. There are, he says, some challenges.
There's about a 10 to 15% increase in cost to build a carbon fiber over an aluminum high-speed ferry. But there's a 40% weight savings in the structure of the boat. So you can really save fuel and you save emissions.
Turner says the new company, based in Belfast, will make use of the Federal Jones Act that prohibits ships from carrying cargo and passengers from port to port in this country unless the vessels are built in America. Bruda O has built over 50 ferries of the size that Arcadia is looking to produce and will provide the plans and expertise to build them here in Maine. Turner says a new structure to facilitate the building of these ferries is planned for this year. Meanwhile, like many other Maine companies, the Front Street Shipyard is trying to solve a critical problem.
We are trying a couple different techniques and trying to find people because there really isn't anyone right now out on the street looking for work.
That's Tammy Coombs, the shipyard's HR director. She says it has been difficult to recruit skilled workers from other areas of the country and to convince young Mainers to consider the shipbuilding business, even though the pay and benefits are competitive. Coombs says the company is still actively seeking young Mainers with skills needed at the yard, including reaching out to area high schools and nearby community colleges.
They can work for us for the summer, and I will actually use a company vehicle and take them on a tour to either school, and also Southern Maine Community College, which has a composite program.
J.B. Turner says the yard has about a dozen vacancies right now and will need another 50 to 100 workers based on demand for the new carbon fiber ferries. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, January 8th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.